It's showtime.
Hi, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how are you feeling today?
Feeling great, feeling good. How are you?
Same. I'm doing just fine. I got my good old Baja Blast drink of the summer, drink of the year, if we're being quite honest. So I'm doing all right over here.
If we're doing a bottle check, I got a got a Gatorade.
Everybody's favorite segment.
Yep,
bottle check.
People want to know what we're drinking. I've got a Gatorade Flow, kiwi strawberry flavor. The ones that Paul George does commercials for, and goes no OT tonight in like a really bad monotone. It's good.
Your line cut out. So all I heard was Paul George.
That's all I had to say.
Paul George.
Gatorade Flow, Paul George.
Paul George. He created it, and it's his actual sweat.
Folks, no OT tonight.
That's why it's expensive. Because it's milked from his sweat glands. That's a gross thing to start off on, I would say. But that's okay.
I mean, look, there's a reason that he calls himself Playoff Pee. It's because he pees out Gatorade Flow. It's also why they call it Gatorade Flow.
Because it's flowing out of his pee.
Yeah.
The pee comes out of pee. Look, hey, this is a pretty good show about the show Survivor.
Look,
wherein we talk about the urine of NBA stars.
Look, I heard that they're looking for some less mean comedy for the White House Correspondents Dinner, so I'd like to formally submit myself. Jake and I will co-MC the next one.
We'll tag team it.
We'll say nice things about all the war criminals there. It'll be great.
Like, hey, everybody's talking about the pee tape. The only pee I care about is Paul George's Gatorade Flow piss. And everybody will be like, hooray, hip hip hooray. What a jolly good sport, basketball.
The only piss I care about is the one that I'm drinking out of this bottle when I hold it up.
and then you open the bottle and take a big swig.
Gatorade Flow because it flows out of Paul George's penis.
Are you glad you're listening to this show?
Because Dan Ninan can't give you that, okay? This is the comedy that only we can give you.
Has Dan Ninan ever hosted the White House Correspondents Dinner? No,
he hasn't.
We will.
Yeah, Jake, he hasn't hosted the White House Correspondents Dinner yet.
Yet. And he also won't because...
No, he's going to host it next year.
No, it's our spot. He can't take our spot. He took our generation. He can't take our spot at the White House Correspondents Dinner.
He's the top millennial comedian. We just got to wait in line.
He is. He's very good. Well, once he dies off or becomes less popular, I mean, he's already the most popular comedian in America.
He'll die from his Tesla, like, self-driving autopilot thing crashing him into, like, an on-ramp.
Yeah. And once that happens, it's your boys hosting the White House Correspondents Dinner.
Spots opened up.
Talking about PGP, Paul George's piss.
You down with PGP? Yeah, you know me. Who's down with PGP? It's literally P.
Exactly. So, Thomas, I've got a question for you
today. This piss is refreshing. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I love it. I love piss.
Delicious piss.
Look, Can I just get you in the clear saying that you also love piss?
I love piss. It's stored in the balls. It's good for me, and I like it.
But I like Paul George's because it's got electrolytes, and that's what you need if you want to be good at b-ball.
Folks, urine, sterile. Lots of electrolytes.
Yep. Look, it comes
from... I bet you could get... like $1 billion in venture capital for starting up. Like, I'm disrupting hydration. Everyone is drinking pee now. And they'd be like, the Silicon Valley company, the hottest new startup. And it's just a bunch of people drinking pee. Like, actually drinking pee is good.
Drinking pee is good. If you want to get good at basketball, you got to drink a basketball player's pee.
I mean, if you can con these people into drinking raw water, I think you can get them to drink pee. I don't think it's that far a step.
Raw water is step one of our good product PGP.
That's how we're going to secure the funding. We got to get Paul George on board.
He already is.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not going to be hard to convince him.
Gatorade Flow is already a thing.
The problem is we don't want to get sued by Gatorade, but, you know.
You know what? After we're done at the White House Correspondents Center, we're going to get a ton of money. Why don't we just buy Gatorade, the company?
It's a good point.
It's a really good plan. Dan Ninen, we're coming for you as most popular person in America. Well,
drinking,
this is a very good
drinking pee to own Dan Ninen.
Since this is a podcast about Survivor, I think we should probably tie it in. I want to see a show, a season where they pee into the pot and then boil it, and that's their hydration for the season, rather than like going to the well.
That's going to be when Bear Grylls takes over hosting duties.
Wait.
That's what it's going to be.
I love Bear Grylls.
I wonder what he's up to right now.
I don't know. I think he's got a show. Doesn't he have that show with celebrities where they go in the woods and live together?
And drink pee.
For like a weekend? And drink pee. Yeah. It's a show he and Paul George host together. Their co-host, Bear Grylls, does the talking. Obviously, Paul George does the pissing. It's the most popular show in America. American Idol, get out of here. The Voice,
yeah.
No more. Now it's...
Paul George is listed as
PGPBG.
Paul George is listed as playoff executive P.
Yeah. all right, Thomas. This has been going on for a while.
Yeah.
So I think it's about time I ask you, did you watch Survivor Ghost Island last night?
I mean, you wouldn't think so from how long it took us to get here, but I did.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We can revisit Paul George. Will you, every time you take a sip of your Gatorade Flow, will you just let us, the audience, know that you're drinking some PGP at the moment?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just thinking about the two great shows the two great ideas, like NBA marketing ideas we've already had, because we had the Serge Ibaka show.
Oh my god, is Serge Ibaka's show going to be sponsored by PGP, Gatorade Flow?
You know it, brother.
Yes. Cool.
Sorry, I just want to let everyone know I just took another delicious sip of that piss, and I'm about to treat myself to another one.
So happy to hear that.
It's green, so I'm not sure if Paul got into, if he's, you know, eating a lot of kale lately.
Probably. How does it smell? Is there maybe some asparagus in there?
A little bit. There's a few notes.
A few notes of asparagus. Great.
Grassy asparagus and great. It's grassy and herbaceous.
This week is the final week of April in the D. Tiger's still playing. Jenna's still on Survivor.
Leave the memories alone, people.
All right, this week's episode was called "It's Like the Perfect Crime." What was your thought on this episode title?
You know who pulled the real perfect crime? Vladimir Putin, by getting the orange Cheeto man in the office. Sorry, it's just getting another hint of that political humor you can expect
for
once.
We gotta ramp up. We got 364 days until the next White House Correspondents' Dinner. We just gotta practice.
Sir, you're fired.
No, we have a lot of really good Gatorade jokes. I think that this was actually a bad title. It's like the perfect crime, and I will tell you why.
I don't think it really had... It didn't really reflect the episode in any way.
Not at all. I was expecting one of the contestants to come up with an incredible plan and to have it perfectly executed.
I was expecting one of the contestants to kill Jeff Probst with an icicle, because the weapon would melt, and there would be no way.
And they couldn't tell, because it's not shot on cameras. No, It's Like the Perfect Crime was just commentary from Jeff Probst, a man who will one day be stabbed in the heart with an icicle.
It's not a threat, it's a statement of fact.
It's not a threat. It's a spoiler. from wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Survivor, the thing we've come here to talk about instead of... I feel like we have three main topics, and those are basketball players, Yirin, and...
Wrestling.
Bevs.
And
wrestling.
And
that's
Lost.
The other one. And Lost. Ah, fucking... Guys, where's Paul George's piss?
Guys, what is this?
All right, we start off at camp. Docu Mick tells Laurel about a dream that he had with her, wherein her dad was played by Michael Sheen. Very good dream. I liked it a lot. I think that he also mentioned that they had breakfast together.
I like
that's
the,
nice.
I like Michael Sheen reference. Good. It's a solid reference.
That was, I feel like they don't reference things outside of the game very often, like pop culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that doesn't come up.
I think
often.
They edit it out because they're afraid that the old people watching won't understand what they are.
Yeah. Well,
it's CBS, and the average age of a CBS viewer is like 800 years old.
Yeah. It's good that they kept Michael Sheen in because they do know who he is. They are aware. If they were like, Michael B. Jordan, they'd be like, from basketball?
Mm-hmm. He wasn't in Frost Nixon.
Desiree approaches the Malolo Alliance and says that she is now ready to take out Navidi. Remember how there used to be two separate tribes and we knew who everybody was on the tribe? That's apparently important again.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing you're supposed to kind of let go once you get to the merge.
Especially since they had two tribe swaps. Like, I don't know, it's...
Yeah, why do you care who was on what original tribe?
And it's not, like, they're not even... The tribes don't mean anything. It's not like they're all heroes, or all hustlers, or all villains. Or
also,
all
the, like, main feuds are all pretty much done. Like, Chris is gone.
The main feuds, yeah.
Bradley's gone. Like, there's people
Libby's
that
gone.
Were... there's people that were together, but, like, none of them were really leading the alliances. Except for, like,
right.
Dominic.
Yeah.
And he won, so... And he won against someone everyone else hated, so it's not like anybody was mad about it.
Right. So Laurel says that she feels stuck in the middle between these two alliances. Great. Then we get to the reward challenge.
Clowns to the left of her, jokers to the right.
That is actually really
good. It's a Bob Dylan song.
It's a good song.
Don't quote me on it. It's Bob Dylan did it, and don't look it up.
Bob Dylan did it, and he got all that energy from ran that song from that Gatorade flow. You know what
I was in
about.
The studio when he recorded it, and I was like, boy, Bob Dylan about to do it, and he did. So, you can shut up.
He just had to do it to him.
My uncle works at whatever record company he was signed to.
Universal Music Group, obviously. Okay. At the reward challenge, they break into two teams of five, meaning one person sits out. There are three people locked inside three different cages that are floating in the water. The other two people row a boat to unlock them, and then they do a puzzle, naturally. The winning team gets to take a helicopter ride to a picnic on another island. Great. One
fucking
cool
boring picnic, too.
Yeah, I was like trying to see what was at the picnic, and I couldn't. There was nothing.
He literally said bread, meat, and cheese.
I mean, all of those things are pretty good.
And there were drinks that he didn't reference in any way, but it looked like it was wine and soda.
Yeah. And I think... Did you say beer?
I did say beer. Those motherfuckers.
I was looking out for
that. How have they still not had beer once?
Because Michael's 18 and they might want to blow up his spot.
But they've had booze, though.
That's a good point. Maybe they'll have O'Doul's for Michael in the future.
I'm a teetotaler.
One of the cool things about this challenge was that there were decoy pieces in the puzzle pieces that they picked up. It was cool. I don't think we've seen that before.
No, that was cool.
Or if we have, it's been a while. So the team of Chelsea, Jenna, Kellen, Michael, and Seabass wins. And then they force the other team to draw rocks to go to Ghost Island. I don't know about this going to this Drawing Rocks thing for Ghost Island. I want it to
like,
be
just,
more.
Just send
savage.
Someone there. Like, what is so hard about this?
Right.
They shouldn't have. Like, that shouldn't be an option. You should have to choose someone.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be immunity. The immunity winner gets to choose, and it's one for one. I don't know. I think that would be more interesting.
Yeah,
it would make for more compelling feuds later in the game.
It was significantly more interesting when they were sending a person that wasn't going to be able to vote or get voted out.
Right, that's such an interesting wrinkle to the game. And now it's just like, it's Exile Island, but
it's like
a little different.
Yeah, it's like you might get an advantage, but most of the time you don't. Like,
yeah. That's. I mean, I like the idea. I think it, in the future, can be more well executed.
Yeah, they need to refine this premise.
I wonder why in the first two episodes they did it for immunity, and then they just abandoned that. Like, that, I feel like they must have thought about that before shooting.
Yeah, it's weird. And there wasn't really any explanation for it. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, we'll see what happens going forward, I guess. So Angela draws the rock to go to Ghost Island. At the reward, during the... I wish... Sorry, I'm laughing because I can see my notes and you can't. So let me just tell you what.
That's the best kind of podcasting, when someone's laughing at something off screen and not even the other host knows what they're laughing at.
It's just, I love Seabass so much, because during the helicopter ride, he said, I missed the first part of the quote, I didn't write it down, but it ended with him saying, you don't need to when you get highs like that.
Yeah, baby.
Seabass, like, we made fun of Tails and Jay a lot in Millennials vs. Gen X for being stoned all the time, but they're, like, not hiding it at all with Seabass, and I love that.
I mean, just look at him. Like, he's not hiding it by being who he is.
It.
Yeah, he's not hiding it.
Michael offers himself as an extra vote in future tribal councils. Yeah, it's a fine strategy for him at this point. Seabass and Chelsea give him a firm maybe, which Kellen likes because she can see her own game ramping up. Now, Thomas, when we were picking people for the merge, post-merge person, I said Kellen because I related it, her game back to Michelle's game in Ko Rong, how it, like, improved as the game went on. It's looking like the same thing is happening with Kellen over here.
Here's what I will say against that. People are catching on to her a lot faster than they did to Michelle, because people never really caught on to Michelle.
That is true.
I mean, this is week three of the merge.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
And already she had someone come after her.
Well, did she also get that person out, though?
I mean, that is true, but, like, I think people... The fact that she's had to step into the spotlight, I think, is something that's going to hurt her game.
Well, maybe she'll, do like Documic last week and be like, oh, I'm making too much noise. I got to step back and play a quiet game.
Well, I mean, this is like one of the first bits of noise she's made, though. Like, Dominic has been out in front. People know what's
Dominic's
up with him.
Dominic's a noisy boy.
I don't think a lot of people had considered the game Kellen's been having because they haven't really been paying attention to it.
I think she has her fingers in the right pies at the moment. Like, she's working with the Malolos, right? I don't remember who's on what alliance. But she's also working with,
unlike our president, folks. What a creep.
Ugh.
Oh, wait, that's too blue. Sorry, that's...
Yeah.
We already did that a little bit this year.
Great.
There were pussy-grabbing jokes being made at this one. I'm sorry. I'm trying to delete it.
Donald Trump is the president. A big pause for big laughs. And applause, because he's good now. Welcome to the resistance, Donald Trump.
I'm excited for Jimmy Fallon to host for the next 20 years.
Please don't say that. Now you made it real.
It's happening, man.
Well, it was Michelle Wolf this year. It was Hasan Minhaj last year. So I think the next logical step is probably us, right?
It seems to fit the pattern.
Right? It's like Daily Show, Colbert, Daily Show. Did you watch Survivor last night? We're the next one.
We don't make transphobic jokes, so you should pick us.
Yeah, we only make jokes about fucking Jake Tapper over here. Get out of here with your face. Should we bring a snare drum and cymbal, do you think?
Maybe.
Just so that, like, people know when the joke is over.
Yeah, like, Jake Tapper, you care so much about both sides. Why don't you examine both sides of your face?
Yeah.
Because, one of them's bad.
One of them's bad. You're like the Joker, but not the Joker.
Man, if Jake Tapper was actually there, we would get backlash because I would just make fun of him a lot.
I would be like, hey, Jake Tapper, we have the same name, and you're an adult, so why do you go by a nickname?
What are you hiding?
What are you hiding, Jacob? I don't like him. I only want Wolf Blitzer in my house.
Jake Tapper, if you love troops so much, why don't you marry him?
Yeah, why don't you marry the troops, Jake Tapper?
Why don't you marry the concept of the troops?
Why don't you marry every single troop?
If I did that, Jake Tapper would be like, I will!
I think, here's my
I respect
plan
their
for
service,
Jake
and
Tapper's
I will
life.
Marry them.
Here's what I'm thinking for Jake Tapper. I want him to marry every single troop. How many are there? 5,000 or so?
That's the number of troops that there has ever been in the history of the United States, yes.
We have a very big army.
We do more with less.
He needs to marry each one. But I don't think Jake Tapper wants to divorce anybody, so he's going to have to murder some people.
Folks, they say...
Like 4,999 people.
Folks, they say that you can't perpetrate imperialism with only 5,000 people, but not the case.
5,000 people isn't cool. You know what's cool? 5,000 marriages to troops. It's like a direct quote from Jake Tapper from CNN.
Yep.
So this is the kind of jokes you're going to hear at next year's, the 2019 White House Correspondents' Dinner.
This is the kind of riffs you're going to get from us.
It's going to be a lot of riffing, a lot of bits, a good time for all. People won't be mad at us because, like, the comedy is just so good.
They call Jake Michael Jokin, and they call me Scotty Riffin.
That's our names. Don't wear them out. Okay, on Ghost Island, Angela wins... a game in her urn, but she has a two-thirds advantage. Two urns have a advantage in them. One urn does not. So she opens one of the urns, and it says, no vote. I liked it, because it was, poetically ironic or something?
Yeah, people getting the no vote thing is really funny. Like, honestly, I kind of hope everyone gets it when they go to Ghost Island now, so that they have to hold up the no vote thing and look like a total idiot at the end of it. Like, I hope this doesn't mess me up.
What if they save their no vote parchment, and then in Final Tribal Council they use that?
Oh, that would own.
There will be no winner. That would be good. I would like that. At camp, Laurel says that she trusts Wendell and Dokumik more than Desiree at this point. Then she tells Wendell and Dokumik Desiree's plan. Dokumik then relays this plan to Kellen. You know her. She's my person. She does not believe this is true because Chelsea and Desiree have been by her side since the beginning. She thinks that this is a more elaborate plan to get the target off Michael. See, look at... She's weighing all the options. She's very good at this game.
Well, I mean,
she's
probably
going to win. I mean, she's...
She's actually very wrong about that.
But she's considering it, you know? She's like, hey, maybe. Maybe this is what's actually happening. And then she, like, figured it out throughout the episode. And that's why she's the best Survivor player of all time, actually.
I don't know. I think once you start playing 12-dimensional chess in Survivor, you're just begging to get voted out.
Well, you know who's good at 12-dimensional chess? Our president, Donald J. Trump.
The Cheeto Man himself.
Yep, I love him.
How's
I like
he,
him because he tastes like
How's he even able to pick up the pieces with how small his hands are?
Well, they're filled with Cheeto. They're covered in Cheeto dust, so he's got a little more grip on them.
Oh, all right, yeah. All right, yeah. That makes sense.
Speaking of tasty fried food, at this point in the episode, there was a KFC commercial in which they used the phrase, all the fixins.
Mm.
Do you think they used that phrase specifically for Survivor?
Sounds like a show tie-in to me.
I think it is. The Fried Chicken Authority will be in charge. Michael takes Donathan on an idol hunt despite not wanting to bring him. Michael does not find anything, but Donathan finds Scott's idol from Koh Rong. The paper that comes with it says that it is powerless on its own, but Ty's idol from Koh Rong is hidden underneath the shelter. How many times has Ty played now? Two or three times?
Two, and he's had like eight idols.
God damn it. Good for him, I guess. Donathan returns to the shelter and has to just kill time until he can grab the idol inconspicuously. I liked this little segment. It was very fun.
This is always fun when somebody has to act normal while they're waiting for everyone to, like, go to bed or leave.
Yeah. And he's just, like, making small talk with people as they, like, walk past. You have to wonder, though, like, the other contestants... They can see the crew surrounding Donathan in this scene. Like,
him just be like,
what's he doing?
Just being normal. Don't look at me.
It's just B-roll. I don't know.
It's fine.
I want to be on this show just so I can see the whole setup from the set. That made sense, right? Okay, so then Jenna, Laurel, and Michael surround the idol. Well, Donathan pulls it up from underneath the shelter. And now Donathan has... an idol that he can play... Wait, can he play it after the votes?
I don't remember.
Because that was what it was in Koh Rong. Yep. If you combined them, you could play them after the votes.
I mean, probably then.
Yeah, but then also they, like, change things for this season. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Do you think that they'll bring Ghost Island back in a few seasons?
I think that's something they should bring back, but I'm not sure when they will.
Well, I guess we'll find out. Okay, at Immunity Challenge, they have to balance a ball atop a disc while the disc is held up by ropes that they're holding.
Classic individual immunity challenge.
It's great. It's
You're either balancing or you have to balance something. And you know what? It's good. They're good challenges.
It is good. It's fun to watch, and I love it. Michael, who was your pick, took 4th place.
Who's your pick?
My pick was Seabass, who was going up against Chelsea. They were the last two people standing. Chelsea won, so good for her.
Chelsea continuing to have a good game that she has drawn, like, no attention in.
Wait, is Chelsea the Michelle of this season?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Nobody's looking at her.
Everybody seems to like her. She's doing well, and she's not being targeted.
And she also is not getting any sort of edit, despite playing a good game.
Maybe that's their strategy, is to give no edit. It's about the it's about the clips they're not showing.
Back at camp, Desiree talks about wanting to take Kellen out and says that if I'm sitting next to her at Final Tribal Council, she's winning. Oh, really, Desiree?
Which is smart.
Interesting. Yes. She is playing this game harder than anyone thinks.
I mean,
another
look,
good quote
if she's sitting if she's
player.
Sitting at the Final Three with Desiree, then yeah, she's probably going to win. But if it's with Wendell,
or like
Wendell's going to win.
But here's the thing. Wendell's not even going to make it to the merge, I think. There's going to be a second merge.
He's going to retroactively... They're going to break back into tribes. They're going to say that they forgot to medevac him several weeks ago.
Oh, turns out your appendix exploded? We need to take care of that. Weird that you didn't realize that. Kellen tells Desiree and Chelsea that Documic made her aware of Desiree's plan. This whole segment, I was watching it live, which I rarely do. And I was trying to keep up taking notes, and I had to rewatch it a second time because there was just so much conversation between so many people. And still, none with Chelsea.
Yep, she managed to stay out of it.
Desiree claims that Laurel is trying to stir the pot, I guess. Desiree then approaches Laurel for spilling the beans and yells at her to make sure that Wendell sees them. I didn't understand that part either.
No, I didn't really either.
Again, a lot going on in this episode. That didn't make a lot of sense. Desiree leaves, and then Donathan tries to explain what was happening, and Wendell just says, "Oh, I just came in the middle. I don't even know the context." Just a perfect quote for this game. I love it.
It was good.
Yeah.
Pretty good player. Though. Pretty good player, that guy.
Yeah. It's so unfortunate that he's going to be eliminated. Laurel then approaches Documic to explain what's happening. And Desiree comes up and explains her side very frantically, and Documic just quietly goes, "Okay." It was a good little scene, too. It was fun.
Yeah, this got pretty Documic frantic.
To Michael, and they agree that the strong should stick together, which I assume is the two of them and Wendell. Right?
I don't know. Maybe Laurel, I don't know.
There's too many people on this show. Vote most of them off, please. Michael recognizes that the Navidi Seven are not as close as they once were. Jenna corroborates Laurel's story to Kellen. Documic and Kellen talk about who they should take out next. Documic says he really wants Dez out. Kellen argues that the women have been bending to his whim and they want Michael out now. Yeah, so who knows what's going to happen in Tribal Council? It's not very obvious. But before we get into that, it's time to talk about the those wildlife shots.
Wildlife.
Give it to me. Hit me with those wildlife shots.
Here we go. Okay. There's that parrot thing. I don't know if it's actually a parrot, but it's something similar. There was a millipede, which I started to look up
They got a lot of legs.
It's a million, actually. I started researching this gigantic millipede, and then I got very grossed out, and I said, maybe we should feature a bird instead. So
stick to what we know around here.
Yeah. Look, 1 million, you know, 1 million legs isn't cool. You know what's cool?
1 million wings.
1 million wings. Speaking of wings, you know who's got some? Your son Roland the Bat. And
showed up right before Tribal.
Yeah, a few times.
I was blessed with his presence right before Tribal. It was nice.
Do you think that they realized that they didn't put him in last episode, so they did a few extra this time?
Just making up for lost time?
I think so. Lost time.
Hey.
Wednesday is 8, 7 Central.
That's what our new podcast is called. It's called Lost Time, and we upload it at 8, 7 Central every Wednesday.
What's it about? Is it about lost, or is it just...
It's not lost.
Shit. Okay, I'm into this idea. Episode by episode, same as this?
Of course.
Good. Okay. So you can find that in... It's going to be on Earwolf.
Who are the Oceanic Six? Guys, where are we?
Don't tell me what I can't do. 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. We have to go back. There's the beard thing, and then like everybody's got daddy issues, and then also
Thing we've always been doing, surviving.
Surviving. You listen to our Survivor podcast called "Did You Watch Survivor Last Night?"
They took my son.
We're the good guys, Michael. Oh, Michael, he's on this show too.
Faraday.
Dang Faraday.
What happened? Happened.
Whatever happened happened. The lady with the red shoes. There's just so many things that happened in our favorite show, Lost. Again, it's called Lost Time, 8, 7 Central. That's the full title. It goes up at 8, 7 Central every Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Okay, here's the featured animal in this week's wildlife shot. It's called the Fiji. Ooh, I'm going to mispronounce this. Goshawk? Goshawk? G-O-S-H-A-W-K. How would you pronounce that?
G-O-S, you said?
G-O-S hawk, like a regular hawk.
Ghost hawk.
Ghost hawk. Ghost hawk. Ghost island.
Yeah.
fucking clever as fuck. Okay, very good. It lives
very
in the
clever
areas.
For them to invent that hawk for this season. It bioengineered it.
It's a GMO. It's a genetically modified organism. I definitely know exactly what that is. The ghost hawk lives in the wooded areas of Fiji. It's about a foot long. This is a direct quote from its Wikipedia page. It has long legs and a long tail.
Yeah, baby. Why.
Just the monotony of that sentence is the funniest thing I've ever read.
Ghost hawks, tails are so big, some call them long.
I couldn't find it. I looked everywhere, which was my own
Facebook
page.
I couldn't either.
I'll have to text my mom and see if she can find it back home. The ghost hawk has a gray body and wings and a lightly colored chest. It eats reptiles, rodents, insects, and other birds, such as pigeons. There is no concern for it being endangered. And they will they will occasionally take chickens, and then they will be shot.
No!
Oh, also, ghost hawks have been dead the whole time. Did you know that?
They're coming from inside the island.
Gah, like the light. Like the light of life from Lost. Daniel Faraday. Jacob. That's my name. Oh, fuck. We're the same guy. Me
the
and
guy
God are the same.
The guy that plays Harry Bosch on Bosch.
Is that Chris Bosch's show?
The guy that plays Chris Bosch. Titus Welliver. It's weird that Titus Welliver played the Man in Black and then played Chris Bosch.
Great stuff. I love Westworld.
It's like the new Lost.
It is, because it's very confusing. A lot of people like it. It's probably not as good as people say it is. And there's a character named the Man in Black. So, it's the exact same thing.
It's the same show. Man, can you imagine if Elon Musk was famous around the time Lost came out and he was like, guys, I'm going to make the Lost Island. It's going to be really cool. And people would be like, OMG, epic.
You know that they're going to reboot Lost in like 5 to 10 years. And Elon, our good friend Elon Musk, will do it. He had to do it to him.
He had
to. Being us. Yeah. And it being creating the Lost Island. An island that moves in space and time. Okay, Elon.
I'm doing me. I had to do it to him. And now I've created the Lost Island. Guys, I'm making the Dharma Initiative. It's going to be so epic. Hacksaws. OMG. LMFAO. Bacon.
I don't understand. This man.
This is everything.
He said he was going to create a cyborg dragon, right?
Yeah, well, he already did a flamethrower for LMAO, the zombie apocalypse guys.
It's just so funny. He should host the White House Correspondents Dinner because he's so funny.
Yeah, he's like a really cool guy.
He's like the coolest guy, actually. We will relinquish our spot at next year's White House Correspondents Dinner for our good friend.
I'll write jokes for Elon Musk where he's like, folks, I'm not saying I'm doing badly, but this crowd is more dead than the workers at my unsafe factories.
And then we can... It's good.
Elon Musk destroys TV. White House Correspondents Dinner.
To be honest, Elon Musk is kind of like our generation's Dan Ninan.
Yeah, I mean,
if you really think about it...
Jake, I'm sorry. Dan Ninan is our generation's Dan Ninan. He's a millennial, and you will respect Dan.
Dan Ninan is our generation's Elon Musk.
There you go. Musk is Gen X. What are you doing? He's not a millennial. He's not a millennial like Dan Ninan.
Elon Musk is Dan Ninan's dad. Everybody knows it. Everybody's talking about it. They're the same person.
Folks, I'm half Indian, half Elon Musk, which means that I get my sushi at Tesla.
Okay, let's get into this tribal council. And then afterwards, we can talk more about our good friend and dad, Elon Musk. At tribal council, Desiree and Laurel debate the conversation that did or did not happen. Desiree defends herself from everybody. Chelsea verbalizes how Malolo is desperate for Navidi to break apart. And then Kellen says that she's been trying to be like Sherlock Holmes, but feels more like Helen Keller. I didn't like that quote.
That's ableist.
That was a bad quote. If I could, I would remove my wish for Kellen to win. I would redact that.
But I'm not like offended or anything. I just think like that is also the exact kind of like, remember in like 2004 when people were like, I'm edgy, I'm making Helen Keller jokes.
Yeah.
It's like the dead baby jokes where it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Real edgy. Cut myself on that edge.
Yeah, it's a bad joke. It's a bad reference. And, Kellen, you know.
Kellen, I'm sorry. You're canceled. Problematic.
Kellen's problematic, and that's it. That's it. So then they all go vote. Nobody plays an idol, and Desiree gets voted out. Okay. Michael got a couple votes also. Good job, everybody. You did the thing. Okay, here's everybody's record at Tribal Council. Angela, not doing well. She's got 20%. She's voted correctly 1 of 5 times.
This time she voted for no one, so that was technically incorrect.
Yep. Next is Wendell. He's at 50%. He got 2 of 4 correct. DocuMix at 3 of 5. Jenna, oh no, Michael is at 5 of 8. Jen is at 5 of 7. Seabass is 4 of 5. Donathan is 5 of 6. And Chelsea is 5 of 6. The only people who have voted correctly every time have both gone to Tribal Council 6 times, and they are Kellen and Laurel, the 2 winners of this season.
I think Laurel's got a good shot.
I agree. Excuse me.
I think the one person of those two that has a good shot is Laurel.
I agree. I think Laurel was a very good pick for me when we
picked I don't think Kellen has a good shot. I think Kellen has a great shot. That's what you should have said.
You beat me to it. Okay, let's get into predictions. Oh, but before predictions, what if we tally up our points?
Oh, boy. Did either of us get points aside from our person being in there?
Yes. You got 1 point for Wendell surviving. Good job. It's only a matter of time till he's gone. DocuMix will turn on him, I guarantee it. So you're sitting at 22 points. I got a point for Kellen surviving despite being problematic. I got a point for Jenna winning the reward, despite being just a perfect individual. Jenna's actually the best, and she's going to win the whole game. So I'm at 25 points now. At this point, there's 10 people left. Who do you expect to see in the final 3?
I think it is going to be Wendell.
Okay.
You're Laurel. Wrong, okay. I think Wendell and Laurel are going to blindside Dominic at some point.
Oh, interesting.
So Wendell, Laurel, and I'll say Donathan.
Okay. I could see that. I am expecting DocuMix to cut Wendell out because he realizes what a threat he is. I think he will take Laurel and Kellen to Final Tribal because he sees them both as goats.
He's an idiot if he thinks that Kellen, like, he should take Kellen as a third.
I mean, I could see it happening, honestly. And then, honestly, I don't know if Laurel or Kellen would win. I think Kellen, at this point, has a better chance, although Laurel is playing a fantastic game, and I could see winning. But also, a black woman has not won this game since, like, 2004, so...
Yeah, you're going up against that. I think, honestly, you're setting yourself up for failure if you're putting Dominic in your final three, because if he gets there, I think he wins.
I could see that happening, especially if Wendell gets voted out. Okay. Let's, this week, not skip our predictions and actually do them on the episode. How about that?
Yes. Let's.
It's a good idea. Two people were voted out, or will be voted out next week.
Two people?
Yeah. Did you not watch the preview?
No, I try not to watch the previews.
Well, two people are getting voted out next week, so try to remember everybody's name. There's still too many people on this show. Okay, who will win the reward challenge?
I think that... I'm going to say Chelsea wins reward.
God damn it, that's what I was going to say. Okay, I'll say Donathan wins then. What will be at the reward, though? What will be the reward? Ooh, maybe a jet ski. No, that wouldn't make any sense.
I think it's going to be hamburgers this time.
Ooh, hamburgers? Okay. I think it will be... You know what? They've been doing a lot. Wine. You're going to say there's going to be some wine there.
It's going to be Wine Wednesday on Survivor.
Wednesday's 8, 7 Central.
Wine Shot Wednesday.
I went out with some friends last night and I was explaining the different...
Half Shot Saturday.
The different shot...
Full Shot Friday.
Full Shot Friday, Half Shot Saturday, Three Shot Thursday, and then Wine Shot Sunday because, you know, you got to take communion. Immunity. Who's winning immunity?
Oh, man. I got to think about this one.
Okay. You got some ground to make up.
Yeah, I do. I am gonna say... I'll say Seabass wins this one.
That's what I said last week, and he only took second place. So, I'm gonna say Angela.
Okay.
Yeah. She got me a point last time she won, so... Okay, who's going to Ghost Island? This could be anybody.
It's such a crapshoot because they always draw rocks.
I know.
I guess I'll say Laurel goes.
Okay. I'm gonna say Chelsea. Maybe then she'll get a segment in the show. Who will ultimately be voted out? Remember, there are two people.
I think Angela is getting voted out, okay. And I think... I'm trying to think of who's... I think Michael is going to get voted out.
I'm going to agree with Michael, and I'm going to say...
Yeah, obviously Angela cannot get voted out in your timeline there.
She could give up immunity. It's possible. Who doesn't have an idol at this point? Michael and Wendell's got one. Donathan has one. Documic has one.
Man, I don't think Kellen has one.
No, but she does have a very good game. So, you know, I'm not too worried about that. Also, Donathan might use it on her because they're good friends, actually. I don't want to... No, I'm not going to say that. I guess Chelsea? Michael and Chelsea. Sure. Okay. There's the predictions for...
You did it.
Had to do it to him. Okay. Ponderosa, Desiree taught Libby and Chris a dance, and then she created something called a grilled cheeseburger. What do you think a grilled cheeseburger is?
Is it a cheeseburger that is on, like, two pieces of bread that are fried?
Yeah, it's like a grilled cheese with a burger inside.
I mean, that sounds pretty good.
It does sound really good. She, like, explained it in great detail, like, the name of it didn't completely make sense.
I was gonna say, like, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's both of those things.
It's like going to a restaurant and being like, oh, there's mashed potatoes on the menu. Mashed potatoes, $6 or whatever. And then the description is potatoes.
$6?
Yeah, well, I assume you're getting a lot of potatoes.
It hit me over the head with these fucking prices.
You're telling me.
$6 in this economy?
In... In Libby's Ponderosa, she went to a market and made food. So that was fun. Okay, let me tell you about this fucking wild season of champs versus stars in a segment we call the Challenge Chunk. How's that for an intro?
Pretty good.
This show is... It's better than last Champs versus Stars. I don't know if it's as good as Champs versus Pros yet, though. But oh my god. Okay. You know, Salida Ebanks, she's a person. She got upset that Kayla said a cuss word. And then she... This person is an adult. Then she stormed out of the room.
Folks, what is this? Last night's White House Correspondents' Dinner?
Not gonna happen at the 2019 dinner when we're
100% hosting. Clean comedians.
No cussing, no meanness, only good times and good vibes. So Brooke Hogan followed Salida Ebanks out of the room and shouted back at everybody in the room, "It's tacky and it's Jerry Springer. You heard me."
I always like a "you heard me" tacked on to something really dumb and incoherent. Yeah, and that's everybody... right. I did invoke Jerry Springer. How about you think about that?
It's 1999 still, right?
Why don't you marinate on that?
Hulk Hogan's my dad and still a professional wrestler. You can see him every week on Monday Night Raw. And Jerry Springer is also my dad. Booby Gibson and Cam agree to have one another's back throughout
Hell yeah.
the game. Despite being members of opposing alliances.
I'm so in for this.
The challenge was...
My two favorite people on the show!
Right? The challenge... Let me tell you about this amazing challenge. This is why Champs vs. Stars is a lot of time more fun than an actual challenge. The challenge this week was Human Shuffleboard. Do you have an idea what Human Shuffleboard might entail?
Did someone have to sit on, like, a duck that they slid? That
exactly.
Rules.
They had, like, a platform with different points throughout, and the closer you got to the edge, the more points it was worth. And so they just had to sit on the pucks as they were firing the other pucks, and then they would fall into the water if they got knocked off. Ah, it's so fun. And The Miz was loving it. The red team... who has CT and Kayla, Ashley, Devin, Brooke, Hogan, Lil Mama, and some other people. They won. They made Ashley the MVP, which means she gets to send somebody from her own team into elimination. She picks Brooke Hogan. Talk about Jerry Springer. Then the blue team votes who they will
send
in.
Yeah, you heard me.
You heard me. All champs vote for Hennessy because she is a weak competitor and fucking obnoxious. The first four stars vote for Cam in a plan orchestrated by Louise Hazel.
Louise, no!
And then the last vote...
I'm sorry, also I misspoke when I said my two favorite people on the show were Cam and Booby Gibson, because Louise Hazel
because you forgot
my favorite
about your wife.
Alive!
So the last vote on the blue team comes down to Booby Gibson. Who do you think he votes for? Cam, the person he's... you know, getting with on the show.
He probably does not vote for Cam.
Or Hennessy, the person who is in his alliance. Who you think he votes for Hennessy?
I do.
Oh, Thomas, I'm so sorry.
No, he voted for Cam.
He voted for Cam. So, it's a tie. And the Miz tells them that the winner of the previous elimination gets to decide who goes in, which is Casper. So he sends in Cam. And then Cam and Brooke Hogan face off in elimination, and Brooke Hogan won.
What?
I know. It was really upsetting.
What were they doing for the elimination?
They had to, like, move a very big, heavy box outside of a ring. Like, the box was, like, 6 feet tall and very heavy, and they were on either end of it, trying to move it across a line. It's a lot more simple than I'm making it sound, but Cam lost, and Brooke Hogan said, it was like fighting my dad, which, what? Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't think your dad would do that well, considering how fucked up his back is.
Yeah. Salida is happy that Cam is gone because she was apparently using her sexuality to get further in the game. One, no, she wasn't. Two, shut the fuck up. Three, she didn't make it far in the game. So, even if she was, it didn't work. Salida Ebanks is awful.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just, for some reason, I don't know why this didn't hit me immediately, but it is really funny that Brooke Hogan was mad on behalf of someone because they said a cuss, because they were mad about someone saying a cuss word.
Yeah.
Like, you know how your dad said slurs? Your dad was saying the N-word a lot?
Yeah.
In those recordings?
Well, here's the thing. He didn't know that he was being recorded.
That's a good point.
So he could.
That, so
he
it
could
doesn't
say
count.
It
doesn't really count.
It doesn't count if you don't know
he's
that you're
actually,
being watched.
Hulk Hogan's got a hood pass, actually, so it's okay. That's what he's the new Triple H. Hulk Hogan hood pass. Hood pass. Ugh. Hulk Hogan.
Ugh. Gross. Yeah. Also, Drake Bell is on this show still, so that's fun.
Good.
CT is there. Some other shit.
How's Devin doing?
Devin is surviving. Wasn't in this episode too much.
Same thing he's always been doing.
Surviving. Okay, use the hashtag figtails on X as three.
Figtails.
You know, they're almost done filming Final Reckoning. Whatever the fuck that means. Which means pretty soon they'll be starting to shoot the next season, which hopefully will be X's 3, and hopefully we can get hashtag Figgy and Tails on it. Use that hashtag once again. It's Figtails on X's 3.
Figtails. The next season after Final Reckoning is going to be called Final Rokening, and it's where was the host of the show.
Why would that happen? That doesn't make any sense. Why would they rename the show? It's not Ms. TV.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're gonna name it.
You can follow us on Twitter. DYWSLN is that. My Twitter is JHIL.
They're gonna call
say
it
your dumb bit.
The challenge. And it's gonna be hosted. It's gonna be hosted by the Miz pretending to be John Cena, like in the WrestleMania feud they had.
I would actually be very into that.
It would be good.
It would be right. Good.
Awesome. Always goes.
Why?
Actually, Mike. Is going to be the new Comedy Central roast master.
You're so stupid. That's the worst one you've ever done. Okay. Review us on iTunes. And you know, I was in the grocery store this morning, saw a bottle of Baja Blast, 5 for $5, so I got one for $1, which means it's officially summer. So have a great one.
Deuces. Love that last bit, huh?
I hated it a lot.
You didn't think
actually.
It was coming. You thought you got out of it.
I really always forget that you're gonna do that at the end, and then
that's
I'm like,
so
oh,
good
right.
About it.
It's just a really good fun bit for everybody.
The best
involved.
Is when you realize, like halfway through whatever dumb setup I'm doing, that I'm about to do it, and get really mad and try to keep talking.
It's like. You've done it so often that I can, like, tell the very slight variation in your, like, inflection.
I'm, like, just changing the subject enough that you're like, God damn it.
I know
thought we were going to get through one episode where this didn't happen.
It's amazing. Like, when you don't do it, and I don't have to put any bleeps in, I, like, think back, I'm like, fuck, did I forget one? But I'll listen back, and I'm like, oh, he just
didn't
do it.
That's even a bigger power move, is to not do it, because you're like, I know it's in here!
I love piss.
Ah, this piss is refreshing.